Isaiah 30. Woe to the rebellious children. Now, what does it mean to be rebellious? Well, it means that you know what the rules are, but you go against them anyway. You do what you want to do, even though you know what you're supposed to do. How many of us know what we're supposed to do? Just we do, don't we? We understand. We understand what God expects of us. We understand His principles and His standards. You know, we talked about this morning, Romans 4, about our salvation. Our salvation is relying on Christ and the blood and the cross. It doesn't rely on anything except our faith. We believe, and so He's already paid the price, and so we're saved. But when it comes to God's blessings, when it comes to God's favor, when it comes to a good life, and I hadn't said it in a while, so I'll say it again tonight. An unbeliever could take the tenets of the Word of God, the teachings of God, and apply them to their lives and have a better life. But why would you want to have a good life here and then go to hell? But the point is that it works. The Word of God works. His ways work in our lives. And so for a child of God to be rebellious when He's given us the path, He's given us the instructions, there's no excuse. In fact, He says that in Romans, doesn't He? You're without excuse. So we know what to do, and these people knew what God anticipated, what He expected of them, and yet they rebelled. They did what they wanted to do. Sometimes, you know, again, going back this morning, being short-sighted, not thinking about the long run, not thinking about what the outcome will be if you do this and if you do that. And so He says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. And who is it that we're listening to? Who are our advisors? How many of you ever had friends, and maybe you figured it out after a while, and maybe you recognized it right off? Their advice was not good advice. Right? The things that they counseled you to do was just feeding into the drama. It really wasn't a solution. How many of us have recognized that in our lives? And so we have to be careful who we listen to, who we take counsel of. And God says they were taking counsel. And the Bible talks about wisdom in the midst of many counselors, getting a lot of different people to say it. But if it's bad advice, it doesn't matter how many people give it to you, how many people agree with it. Take counsel, but not with me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. So this covering He speaks of is protection. It is what they expect to take care of them. The Bible talks about a wife being covered by her husband and a man being covered by Christ. And you know, we talk about having their head covered or uncovered in the book of 1 Corinthians. That's what He's talking about, being covered, that covering, that protection, knowing that there's someone that we look up to and someone that we answer to. And this covering that they have taken was not the covering of the Holy Ghost. It was the covering of Egypt. They thought that if they signed an alliance or a league with Egypt, then Egypt would protect them. Because Egypt was massive. Egypt had the forces to protect Israel. And so they said, we'll just side with them. We'll get them to protect us. But understand that when the Assyrians came, the Egyptians didn't do a thing. They didn't protect them. Maybe because they couldn't. And in fact, we know that God brought the Assyrians in. And so they couldn't have, whatever they did wouldn't have worked. But the point is, they didn't even try. Though they had paid them off, they had done everything they could to satisfy Egypt, but they had taken a covering or a protection or a sense of protection, let's say it that way, that was faulty. And when we put our confidence in our jobs to sustain us, and by the way, I think people ought to work, but when that's our confidence as well, as long as I do a good job, as long as I keep, it doesn't matter what what anybody else says, as long as I go to work and earn my paycheck, I'll be okay. Not necessarily true. And people get fired on the spot. Sometimes they know it's coming and sometimes they don't. But we get this idea that I'll be okay. As long as my parents will take care of me, I'll be okay. As long as, you know, I have money in stocks, as long as I got money in the bank. Don't put your confidence in money. Don't put your confidence in a job. Don't put your confidence in things where the Holy Spirit is not in it, where God is not in it, where God has not ordained it. And by the way, God has ordained work. The Bible says he that doesn't work shouldn't eat. Remember that? Paul said that. He said, you don't work, you don't eat. Except retired people. Y'all eat pretty well, by the way. but you understand what I'm saying. You've already done your work, right? You worked your part. You earned your retirement. But that covering of the Holy Spirit, the covering of God, the protection of God, they didn't have it because they didn't look for it. He says that they may add to their sin. They add sin to sin. So they're already outside of God's will. Now they've added to that. They've increased their debt. Verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt, have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh or to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Hey, how about this? God, what would you have me to do? Go to Egypt. By the way, he told somebody that, didn't he? Joseph and Mary. He said, go to Egypt. So it's not that Egypt was wrong. It's not that being under Egypt and their protection was wrong. It was they didn't ask. It was that it wouldn't work. Guys, sometimes sin is only sin because of our attitude toward it. Jesus was God, right? We established Jesus, the man that walked on earth, was the God-man. He was in the beginning God created. The word God there is Elohim. It is a plural form. It means the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost were there. The Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit was there, right? We all agree on that. So if Jesus was God from the beginning, when he was on earth in that 40 days of temptation in the wilderness and he got hungry, would it have been wrong for him to convert stone to bread? He made water into wine. He took a few fishes and a few loaves and made enough to feed thousands. So I would present to you that it would not be a problem for Jesus to turn a stone into bread. But for one reason, it was at the direction of the devil. And that made it wrong. And because of that, when they go to Egypt, when they are under the protection of Egypt, without consulting God, without God's instruction, that makes it wrong. We need God's direction. Verse 3, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame. The trust in the shadow of Egypt will be your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan. His ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them. You see, what happened is the Egyptians look at Israel and they say, what are we getting out of it? They can't help us. Yeah, we'll take their money. We'll tell them whatever we want. It's not like they can hurt us, but they can't help us. They had no confidence in Israel. I'll tell you who did is Rahab when she was in Jericho, didn't she? She said, your God, I know your God. Your God is, he's got control. He's got power. We've heard about your God. You see, she knew about it. But the Egyptians, they don't have any respect toward God. By the way, don't tell me they hadn't heard about what God did when he brought the Jews out of Egypt. They had to know this God. And yet they had no regard, no respect. Verse 6, it says, the burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper, the fiery flying serpent. They'll carry their riches upon their shoulders of young animals and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. You see, y'all are going to give these people money. They're not going to help you. That's the problem. We're giving everything to Egypt and they're not going to help us. We, in our lives as Christians today, what is our money doing for us? Where are we putting it? Are we putting it where it's going to make use? We talk about these vices, about wasting money. And the biggest thing is, in reality, is all it does is rob us. All it does is steal from us. It doesn't help us. It doesn't build us. It doesn't make us healthier or smarter, right? And yet, we're pouring money into things that don't value, don't have any value, don't maintain their value. Verse 7, the Egyptians shall help in vain. God says, if they do, it won't help you. Put your confidence there, but it won't help you. If I bring an enemy, that'll be it. No purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Best thing that Egypt could do is stay home because they're not going to win anyway. Isn't that something? Put all your confidence in something that can't help you. That can't help you. Look at our lives. Examine your life. Are there things that we're investing in, things that we're hoping in, that can't help us, that won't help us? Politics is a very emotional divisive subject. But one thing I would encourage you to do, obviously as Americans, I encourage you to vote. Not just to vote, but to vote locally. Vote on the elections that are close to home. But understand something, our hope is not in the White House or the State House. Because it doesn't matter who we put up there. You see, I'm sure we've all been disappointed by people we voted in and seeing their actions after we had great confidence, great hope they were going to turn things around, and then what? There have been some that really impressed us along the way, no doubt. For the most part, it's a disappointment. Why? Because in the system that we have in this country now, it's not about the people anymore. They don't work for us. They think they can control us and tell us what to do. That's what's happened. And so if we're putting our confidence in the politicians and the government, we are sadly mistaken. Look at what he says in verse 8. Now go, write it down. Write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. We talked about this last week. He said, write it down. I want you to write it down. Write it down so they'll see what I'm talking about. Write it down so we can come back and look at it in a few years and see if it did come to pass exactly the way I said it would. I've had people come to me and say, I'm going to do this and that. And I'll say, I want you to write it on this piece of paper right here. Write it down right now. And in 5 years, I'm going to pull this piece of paper out. You know what? A lot of times we just have ideas and what we call a knee-jerk reaction, right? I'm going to do this before we've thought it through, before we've really considered it. And we start talking about it. I'm not trying to be a dream killer. I'm telling you that a lot of times we don't have the carry through. We don't stay with it long enough. And it fails. Might have been a good idea, but are we going to stick to it? He said here to Isaiah, write it down. I want it written down. I want people to see that what I've said is the truth, that it's going to come to pass just like I said, that this, verse 9, is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. They don't want it. Do people want church? People need church. Do people need Jesus? They need Jesus. And they need the Bible. Guys, God's people need a steady dose of Scripture. And I don't give a lot of psychology in here. I'm not a psychologist. I don't even tell a lot of jokes, even though I know some funny ones. Y'all just never heard any of them, have you? I mean, this is not a time for jokes and politics and psychology. This is time to get the Word of God out there. That's our job. That's what this is about. And so he says, they don't want the law of the Lord. They don't want to hear it. Verse 10. Which say to the seers, now the seers, that's the preachers, that's the prophets, say to them, see not. To the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. What do they want? He tells us right here. Speak to us smooth words. Prophesy deceit. I don't know. I don't really want to go into the doctor. And the doctor gets my test results and it's bad news. And he says, you'll be fine. Can we fix it, Doc? Nah, don't worry about it. Now, I don't like it when the doctor tells me I shouldn't be eating bacon. That was the last time I went to the doctor. I said, get out of the room. Don't tell me that anymore. Why was she telling me not to eat bacon? Because it's bad for you. That's it. It's not bad for you on a, as a treat, but on a daily basis, it's not good for you. And so the blood work proves that. Now, what would I prefer for her to say? Oh, eat all the bacon you want. No, because that's really not what's good for me. What's good for me is when they come in and they say, well, you need to cut back on bacon and French fries and sodas and ice cream. Well, you can take French fries off the list. I can live without that. Well, do you want to know or not? I mean, it's the difference of an early grave. It's the difference of feeling good or not feeling good. It's the difference of being healthy or not being healthy. So when we come to church, do we want the pastor to say, just do whatever you want, it'd be okay. You're saved anyway. You already trusted Christ. You're going to heaven. What difference does it make? I'll tell you what I want the preacher to tell me if I'm wrong. I want the preacher to lay out what the Bible says. The Bible says this is right and that's wrong. And most of the time we come in here, we already knew what was wrong and right. A lot of times we come to church already knowing if we need to get saved or need to get baptized or need to get rededicated. We already know before we come in what we need to do. Ben preached on tithing last week. Y'all heard that? Tim called me. He said, "Why you tell Ben to preach on tithing?" I said, "I didn't tell Ben what to preach." But we already knew that before he said it, didn't we? It was not a revelation to us. Well, we talk about the Lord coming back and the signs of the times. It's not a revelation to us, but we need to hear it anyway. And so he says, they say, they don't want to hear the preachers. Verse 11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They say, we don't want God. We want to hear about God. That's the world we're living in. It's not new. 2,500 years, and even before that, they've been saying, we don't want to hear about God. We don't believe in God. We don't believe in the Bible. We don't want to know anything about it. But I'll tell you what, every time I look at the creation, just looking at the human body, looking at nature, I say, wow, how can anybody not believe in God? How can anybody believe this was an accident? Some people say, well, it wasn't an accident. All that evolution and Big Bang and all that was ordered by God. Wow. Why would we accept the idea that God ordered a Big Bang and not accept the idea that on the day six He made man out of the dust of the earth with His own hands? Why would we not accept that? We try to justify it and explain it, but because the world's saying we don't believe in God. Well, let me tell you something. God is real whether we believe it or not. And His Word is true whether we practice it or not. Verse 12 says, you know, as they prefer soft, soothing, comfortable, uplifting message. They hate Bible preaching. Thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise His Word. Oh, boy. Right? We ought to love this. Because you despise His Word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. In other words, they enjoy that part of the lifestyle. It's incredible to me how people who don't want to follow God's plan will try to use God's Word to justify their sin. They say, oh, I'm not doing wrong. They know it's wrong. But they'll take the Bible and twist it to say that what they're doing is okay, and it's not. Verse 13, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. He shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth or to take water withal out of the pit. In other words, ground to powder. He said there won't be a piece left. Guys, let's look at what we're building in our lives. Let's look at what we're building with our lives. It's either working or it's not. It's either making a difference or it's not. It's either glorifying God or it's not. We know what His Word says. And we know His Word is true. We know it works when we apply it. Verse 15, thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a great plan, doesn't it? He said, just come back to me. And stop working so hard at it. Stop working so hard to justify your sin. Stop working so hard in your life to make things work because you're fighting against yourself. Just come back to me and rest. Because in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. If they would just repent and have revival, put their trust in God and say, God, we love you and we worship you and we praise you and we honor you. And we set aside our sin and we repent of our sin and we just want to live for you. And God would have protected them. Wouldn't have needed a wall. Wouldn't have needed a military. All they would have needed was their faith and God would have provided the rest. But they would not. That's what He says. But you would not. You said no. We will flee upon horses. Okay, therefore shall you flee. We'll ride upon the swift. God says, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. The Bible talks about a man who ran from the bear, right? I think he ran from a bear and ran from a lion. And he got in the house and he closed the door. And he leaned upon the wall and was bitten by a snake. That's in the Bible. I told you it's full of good stuff. You know, I counsel people and they say, well, I want to leave this job because of this, or I want to leave this marriage because of this, or I want to leave this school because of this. And I tell them, you can't run from your problems. You've got to face your problems. You've got to ask God's counsel and God's wisdom and God's protection and God to give you the grace to endure those problems, the patience to endure those problems, to live for Him, to not feed into it, but not to run from it. They said, no, we will flee. He said, then they will flee faster. They will pursue more swiftly. And they will catch you. Because you can't outrun your problems. Verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. The rebuke of five shall you flee till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. In other words, just a memory. Just one. Wiped out. Eliminated. Verse 18, therefore will the Lord wait that He may be gracious unto you. I tell you, God wants our lives to be a reflection of heaven, a reflection of His grace and His love and His truth. God looks at Israel and He says, if I can't get my glory out of this generation, I'll wait for the next generation. Or the next generation. By the way, the same is true of America. If God can't get His glory out of us now, He'll wait. He wants to pour out His blessing. He wants to show His goodness. But He'll wait until it's a deserving people. Again, nothing to do with salvation. You're saved, you're going to heaven. The Bible says that. But if we're going to walk in the wonder and the beauty of salvation, if we want to expect to experience all that God has to offer here, we better start living right. Turn away from those things that are destroying us. Therefore will He be gracious unto you. Therefore will He be exalted that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. We are so poor in patience, aren't we? So poor in patience. We want everything and we want it right now. But you see, that's not how it works. Because we're not ready for it now. But we can work up to it. Build up to it. Verse 21, we'll finish here. Well, let's go back up. I can't overlook these. Verse 19, the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee. At the voice of thy cry, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Isn't that how we want our prayers answered? So I want, as soon as I ask for it, I want God to hear it. Verse 20, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. In other words, don't let trouble run you from church. People have trouble in their lives and they withdraw from church. That's when we need to be in church. That's when we need it the most. We need the support and the encouragement and the preaching and the prayers. But we just drop out of church and a few days or weeks go by and somebody calls and says, hey, I haven't seen you at church lately. Well, I'm having some trouble. Well, then you should be at church. Verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. I love that. Don't you love that? The guidance of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, when we're ready to serve Him, when we repent and want to do His work, and He says, I'll guide you the whole way. A voice that says, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. The voice of God saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. God's plan is to deliver His people. That's His plan. But His plan has never been to deliver us over and over and over and over because we're putting ourselves in. He's still God. He still loves us. We still belong to Him. He still rescues us. But it delays His purpose when we keep running back to sin. It delays His purpose in our lives when we don't do God's work. When we bring in distractions and interference instead of following the perfect plan of God. Let's stand. Father, You are gracious to us and we love You. We're thankful for the opportunity we've had to be in Your Word tonight. We realize the truth that's relevant today. If we'll serve You, we will enjoy the benefits, the blessings of serving You. But if we rebel, we will not be able to outrun the consequences of our rebellion and our sin. So God, we would be quiet and still and wait upon You, even tonight. Lord, forgive our sins and make us useful for Your purpose and dismiss us with Your blessing. In Jesus' name.